It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here and good to see my partner in non-crime. Mike Ward, good to see you, too.
Well, some of it's been crime, Sean.
Yeah, some of it, for sure. Yeah. This is, I guess, you know, we've had a lot of hiccups here with me lately. I've had run some best of programming, but we're back right here. I guess we are Augusta's this weekend, right? The Masters this weekend. Are we on
I
the back?
I have no idea. Yeah, no hunting season going on
well,
this
Well, you and
weekend.
I don't know golf, but I do know that people are talking about it. Well, I was trying to pivot to this thing. I was going to call it the back nine of turkey season.
Yeah.
But you just ruined it for me.
Well, go ahead. Talk about the back nine.
So it's
nine.
The back nine.
I mean, I don't even know what that is, but go ahead.
The back nine. I mean, don't you think aren't we halfway through? That's May 8th, I think, is the end of
something.
And
like
well,
that.
we're not to the back nine yet. So we still have more turkey season ahead, I think.
Yeah, I think we do.
I didn't think there would be math to do here, but I guess we're doing math.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it started on the
25th.
Yeah. Started on 25th and then here we are on the what is today? We're looking at the 13th. So we still have more. Yeah, so we have 20 days of turkey.
Yeah.
I didn't know there'd be math.
The bad thing is though, the last 10 days or so of it is
I'm spoiling for an argument with you.
I'm not saying I won't be turkey hunting, but I'm not excited about the last 10 days.
It just depends on what we get in the first week of May. And I completely agree. First week of May can be miserable hot.
Yes.
I also think back and look at pictures, you know, from the last couple of years that I'm hunting and like laying in the buggy there is I got like a little fleece vest thing.
Yeah.
There's been some mornings in May that in turkey hunting, I've got the real thin weight stuff we all wear.
Sure.
Thin weight. And then I have like some cotton weight pants
midweight.
And shirt. Yeah. Midweight stuff that I wear, you know, and I can tell, I look at pictures, I can say, okay, it was probably cool that morning. I mean, there's been some May mornings that I've been like, ooh, it's cold. But yeah, it could be real hot.
Yeah, you know, it can be pretty good for the first 2 or 3 hours of the morning.
And there's the difference, too, because my friend Mike Ward, who lays with him like nobody y'all have ever seen,
yep.
Even when he does like a quick hunt, like when he says, we're just going to do a quick hunt, it's y'all's longest hunt ever. So he sits longer than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it pays off.
And it's paid off this year.
Yeah, it paid off.
For me, it has.
And we're going to, by the way, coming up too, we're going to give you a thing you can't use, you didn't know, but a bait, at least in Mississippi, you can't use for turkeys. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
A bait you didn't know you couldn't use. I didn't even think about this, but we'll get to that.
Bait, I didn't know you could use bait.
Well, I didn't know. This is bait to go fishing.
Oh,
we'll get to this in a second.
Okay,
this is interesting. When I saw this story, and it's interesting who it affects as well. But yeah, so what's your report here? I've been getting, you and I've.
I want to hear your report.
You're first. You're first because you killed turkeys. You and I don't know if we talked since then.
We
Mike and I hunted really early in the season, right? First week or something.
Yeah, week
or into the second week, we hunted. Had a great hunt on your place. We had the old. Hens do what hens do and lead the gobbler away, but you got us right in, and this bird, gobbled good on the limb, hit the ground, gobbled, and I mean, we had more drumming than a Charlie Watts solo in a Rolling Stones song.
Well, we thought we was going to have a great hunt. I mean, it started out to be just a perfect scenario.
Yep.
Turkey gobbles in the tree. We're not far
Mike
from
gets
him.
Us in close.
We get in a little closer, get set up. A few minutes later, turkey flies down. We're looking at him.
Yep.
And he goes into strutting. Of course, we could hear him drumming in the tree.
Yeah.
You know, so when he flew down, boy, he's gobbling and he's drumming and doing just what we want him to do.
Yep.
And we're thinking, well, he's going to come to us. We're doing a little light clucking and purring, a little, you know. And we think, well, here he comes. He's going to be here. And he stayed there for what? Probably 15 minutes
easily,
or more?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't move out of a 4x4 box.
Yeah, we're saying, what in the world? And then, all of a sudden, two hens fly down to him. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
So, and then he continues to strut and drum and do all that. And then the hens start walking kind of sideways of us. We think, well, we're getting ready to get a shot.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to kill him. And about that time, they turned and go directly away from us, and that's the end of our hunt.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, we use this as a gauge. I did take the safety off once.
Oh, yeah. So that it was getting ready to happen.
You know, we eased that safety off, you know. So, but it was fantastic. I've said this before, and all turkey hunters understand, non-turkey hunters listening are probably going, why are they talking turkey hunting again? But number two, I have many, 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 many times in my life had turkey hunts that I didn't kill the turkey that were better than a turkey hunt where I killed the turkey.
That's right.
Now, if I can have the great hunt and kill the turkey, that's the best. But I've had some that are just inconsequential. Kill the turkey, happy I killed the turkey, but it's not a great hunt. Or had a great hunt where I had the safety off, but, you know, whatever happened, he went behind it. Whatever happened, he didn't shoot. Those could be really great, too.
Absolutely. I've had a couple of those this year.
Yeah.
Really great hunts. I didn't kill him,
right?
But had a great hunt. What's not fun
what
is just
want?
Go sit there for 4, 5, 6 hours like I do sometimes and never have anything really happen.
Right. That's, you know, that's my worst kind of hunt.
But when you have, you know, some turkeys come up and they're strutting and gobbling and drumming and get to watch one top a hen or whatever, I mean, that makes for a great hunt, which I've had this year. So, you know, they're not all successful as a kill. But they're successful in being in the woods, having a great time. Turkey's putting on a show.
Yeah, the show is what it's about.
That's right.
Now, if you can get the show and also, because I mean,
hearing
you can
them drum and hearing them gobble and all that is what makes the hunt.
Yeah, because I mean, when I was young, when I first started, and I started way back, but let's say about 18, 19, when I started really turkey hunting on my own a lot more.
Right.
When I got to Alabama and hunted public land and some deer club land around Tuscaloosa, I was really now out on my own. I had turkey hunted through my, you know, from 15 on, but it was about killing a bird. And so even if, you know, if I'm sitting there and a bird came in silent around the bend, and I still will kill a bird that comes in silent all day long.
Well, yeah.
But to me, I was back then, this was the best hunt ever because I killed a bird.
Yeah.
As the decades have gone on, I just don't feel, I mean, it's good. I mean, we'll kill them, we eat turkey. So, but it's not the same as getting a little bit of the show. And some days you get more show than others.
Yeah. It's not, but to kill that when it comes in silent, sometimes that's pretty exciting too, because he comes in all of a sudden, oh, God.
Yeah, he's there.
You're just turning your eyes real slow, and all of a sudden there he is standing there looking at you. And he knows you're there, and to be able to get on him and kill him be pretty exciting, you know, pretty.
And I guess that does carry more merit than just the, I'm sitting there at the intersection of two roads.
Yeah. And here he comes,
turkey just
comes
down
and shooting him. That's a different
thing. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if he's tracking you and you all of a sudden, everything looks the same in front of me, except now there's a white head in the middle of what I'm looking at in the woods, and you realize that gobbler's come in.
How many times you look out there and say, there's something white out there. Is that a turkey?
Mm.
Or is that just sun shining through the leaves on a stump or whatever?
How many times do I think a stump is the top of a fan?
That's right.
You know, and I sit and study it and study
it.
He's done
looked 100 times across here, and all of a sudden you look and say, that looks a little different out there.
And then you just stare at it, and finally it doesn't move after 5 minutes. You're like, dummy, that's the same stump you looked at earlier.
Yeah.
So your hunt after I left, and we can talk, I went on the governor's hunt. We'll talk about a little bit about that and the people I was around, but it was not, hunting was not good. But you've been on them.
Well, I've had two successful hunts.
Okay.
Been on two or three more that was great hunts, but wasn't successful in a kill.
Right.
You know, and the first one was a great hunt. Tell you about it. I went over to a friend of mine's place and hunted, and didn't know the land real well, you know. But it's grown up briars, you know.
Now you and I did talk about this on the phone. Yeah. Y'all listen to this. Where these turkeys are?
Yeah, grown up briars. You know, it's, the timber's been thin, so there's, you know, lots of pines out there, but they, you know, sparsely out through there. It's not a first time thin. It's like a second time thin. And these briars and stuff are head high or taller, and trees and stuff out through there. But the turkeys undoubtedly doesn't affect them at all.
So when I start talking about the management techniques I use on our place to make it more conducive for turkeys, don't listen to me, because Mike's in the middle of a briar thicket, and the turkeys are in there.
Yeah, they are. So anyway, I hear one gobbling down the road in a little bottom, so I go and I get as close as I can. Of course, there's briars everywhere. I can't just walk out through the briars.
right.
So here, I just get on a pine tree right beside the road. So I sit there, and this turkey's gobbling, and I can hear him drumming and doing all that stuff. And I can hear one drum pretty good ways.
But yeah, he can.
You know, this is at least 100 or more yards. I can hear him drumming down there. And after an hour, hour and a half, I don't hear it anymore. I don't hear him anymore. Nothing's going on. And I say, well, I'm gonna get up. And I don't normally do that, but mm-hmm. I'm not in a spot I really like.
Right.
You know, if I'm in a spot I really like, you'll I can see good, yeah. I ain't moving. I'm there. So I said, well, let me ease down the road here. And let me just, because I heard some more turkeys gobbling further on down the road mm-hmm. and all. And I said, let me just trying to find a place I can get where I can set up, you know, because I know there's turkeys around wherever I'm at there. Mm-hmm. I just need to find a place I can see. So I'm walking down the road, and I kind of get to the bottom of this little road, and it starts to go up, and I look up the road, and I see something. I said, hey, that's a turkey. And about that time, he, pat, pat, you know, and I said, oh, he's done saw me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just stood still, and he didn't run off or anything. He was still there, and there was some trees that kind of between me and him that I kind of scooted off to the right of the road. So he couldn't see me anymore, so I just – there's a pine tree right there. So I just jumped by the pine tree. Mm-hmm. All I can see is the road and 3-4 foot in front of me. You know, that's it. The road I can see. If he comes down the road, I got him. Well, I'm expecting him to come down the road. I didn't say anything for 20 minutes. You know, I'm thinking
ooh,
if he does come
yeah,
to
give
me –
give the old salad tree.
Yeah, if he does come to me and, you know, later on, he's going to probably come down the road because it's so thick in front mm-hmm. of me. Well – they never do what you think they're going to
no.
do. Okay, so here he comes. I mean, after I sit there 20 minutes or so, I yep, and golly, I said, man, he didn't see who I was or what
yep.
I was. So anyway, he comes to me, gets down this little bottom in front of me, but I can't see nothing. And when I sat there, I mean, there's trees. You know what? You know, normally I cut these little trees down, take mm-hmm. saws and stuff where I can move.
Yeah,
well,
this happened, clippers, yeah.
This happened real quick, so I just got to sit by this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to keep my knees straight up in the air. I can't stretch my knees out because there's trees in, mm-hmm. right in front of
that
me.
Sounds like a Sean and Sullivan spot
and
to sit down.
And if a turkey comes up to my right, I can only see maybe 10, 15 feet. I couldn't shoot him because I can't get my gun around.
Right.
So anyway, he's down there, and the whole time he's doom, doom. I mean, this goes on for an hour and a half. And finally he comes
over. You have the patience of Job, my
and
friend.
And he finally comes over to my right in the one spot that I can see. Well, I hear him coming. I mean, he's getting closer and closer. And, I'm, you know, sometimes drumming it, you think he's right here in front of you, and he's really to the right a little bit or to the left a little bit. Anyway, I think he's coming. So I'm in a pretzel trying to turn my whole body around to the right because I'm right-handed. You know, shooting, but I'm going to have to shoot him with my left hand, but I'm trying mm-hmm. to get my gun through these trees, and I'm just, and it gets hung up on my jacket, my butt, or my gun gets hung up on my jacket, so I can't get it completely turned around. About that time, that turkey sticks his head out, and I'm hung. I can't do anything, and I ain't got my gun pointed at him. So anyway, he sees something, but he don't know exactly what he's seeing, so he kind of sticks his head back in the bushes.
That gives you enough time to move?
I didn't move at all. I didn't know if he could see me or not.
Right.
So, you know, a minute or two goes by, and I hear him.
Okay.
So I said, well, he didn't know what I was, so mm-hmm. I spun on around and got ready for him. Well, didn't see him anymore, and then he went on back in the bottom, you know. Finally, you know, I'm telling you, this could go on 2 hours maybe. I don't know. It's a long time. Finally, he's down at bottom. He's getting closer to the road.
Okay.
So I see a hen come out, and I say, oh, that's what it is. He's with the hen this whole mm-hmm. time. So the hen comes out. He comes out. He's drumming and strutting coming up the road, and I kill him.
How about that? That from the time the beginning of that to the end of that is
two hours, 2.5 hours, whatever.
Wow. Coming back, listen, more turkey stories. I got a story that was relayed to me about a one-legged turkey, and this little show won an award here with the Alabama Broadcasters. We're going to talk about that as well when we come back. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And we're not on the back nine yet, but close to the halfway point here in turkey season, telling some turkey stories from from the first half or first almost half of turkey season. Love to hear yours as well. Remember, you can always drop us a line on the Facebook page. There's FM Talk 106.5, of course, on Facebook, but also FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. Love to get your pictures, your comments, all that over there at the Outdoors page, and you can check it out. And or just leave us a email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. How's your turkey season been so far? What do you think? Because I was talking to some people who've had a good one, and then, like every year, some people say, man, it's been really good, and some people said, it's the worst ever. So
that's right. That's the way it is. Everybody's not the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's land dependent. That's where we talk about all the management things. It's land dependent, you know.
It is.
So it just depends. And the same piece of land year to year can be very different, you know, with what kind of hatches you had.
Yeah.
You were talking about removing some of that hatch and this turkey you killed in a briar thicket.
That's right. You know,
are you going to start wearing like Carhartts with the briar patches on them and all that to go in there and like brush like your rabbit hunt or something?
Well, what I didn't get to say on this hunt, because I was trying to fix our time so we wouldn't be over, but we went over too much.
It's okay.
Anyway, real quick, what I didn't get to say about that hunt was finally, you know, after the turkey came out and I saw his head, and he went back in the briars and started drumming, and he drummed and drummed and went on down, and I didn't hear him anymore for probably 30 minutes or more. I didn't hear anything. I'd cluck a little bit or something where before I could get him to gobble, you
mm-hmm.
know,
but mm-hmm.
it just kind of went silent. And I said, well, that's it. You know, it's getting to be like 11 o'clock now. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm about done.
There's some bass that need caught.
Yeah, you know, so I put all my calls in my pocket, mm-hmm. you know, put them all back in the pocket. And I just sat there for a second, and all of a sudden I heard a doom. I said, oh, my God, he's still here.
Yeah.
He's still there. And that's when, a few minutes later, he walked out on the road with the hen and came up, and I shot him. So
good stuff.
That was my first kill.
And that's, I mean, so you shot that bird 11-something.
11 after 11 o'clock somewhere, 11:15, 11:30.
You kill a lot of birds on into the morning.
It was. Well, I tell you, my second hunt,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm in where me and you went.
Right.
And I hear two turkeys.
Which is a dandy spot, y'all.
I hear two turkeys gobbling up to the north of me, and my woods are open. You saw
mm-hmm.
how open they are. And I just said, no, I'm not going to. I ought to run up there and see if I can get up with them. But I said, no, I'm going to sit right here because I can hear one gobbling to my right, but it's across that dirt road. But
mm-hmm.
that don't mean anything. They're across that dirt road, and I can hear another one south of that across the dirt road. It's not real far, you know, 400 yards or so. And I said, I'm sitting right here. So I sat there, and here it is, you know, probably 10:30 or quarter to 11, nothing. You know, I hadn't had anything, any action, no nothing.
Second guessing yourself a little bit.
Yeah, you know, every 30 minutes or so, I cluck or lightly yep or whatever, just nothing. And then all of a sudden, gow, you know, 100 yards straight out in front of me. I said, oh, man. And here they come. I could see them coming. And there's two of them. And they sat there. They, like, knew exactly where I was at.
They
know.
Yep.
I mean, there's 75 yards out there. They know exactly where I'm at, and they're drumming, and they're gobbling, and they're strutting, and, you know, all that stuff. And I can't see a hen with them, so they're by themselves doing that. And I sit there for 30 minutes. Here it is. It's probably 11 o'clock again by now, maybe even 11:15, somewhere around in there. And just I can't get them to come. Of course, I'm not doing anything. I mean, once I, you know, they gobbled, that was it.
Yeah.
But then after 30 minutes, I decided, well, I'm going to cluck. I did a lightly cluck. Cow, you know, and they go back to drumming and
they
all
said,
that.
We told you right here. Come on.
Yeah.
Man.
And that's what they're doing. They're waiting on me to come to them. So after all that time, I said, I don't know what else to do. I can't call because I know what's going to happen if I call. They're just going to stay there forever. So I reached around my back and I scratched in the leaves. And it was so lightly that I couldn't hardly hear it. And I looked up, and I could see one of them stick his head up. And he started walking to me. So just scratching in the leaves.
Right, and you were doing it lightly. Like, you know, you and I have hunted together enough. I think I was doing it at your place, too. I'll take a stick.
Yeah.
You know, and have that hand against the ground and just ch-ch-ch-ch.
That's right.
But usually I make a lot more noise than you're talking about. They heard just a little.
I mean, I could just scratch a little bit. I couldn't move much. They're just right there, 75 yards, and they
That's why I like to have a stick, like laying by my butt. I reach my hand down.
I didn't have time to find a stick. I couldn't turn my head. You know,
I've killed a lot of turkeys doing that.
They get you in a pretzel. You know,
yes, they do.
And you just can't move. And anyway, when I scratched on the ground a little bit, it was enough that they heard me. Well, that one did for sure. And he stuck his head straight up and started walking to me. And that was his mistake.
And tell you what, and probably a lot of people have done that before. But if you hadn't, I've had that work from deep in the Tombigbee River swamp to the side of a hill up in Okmulgee in Alabama. Mm-hmm. I've killed turkeys, finished them.
That's right.
With leaves.
Just scratching in the ground.
Absolutely. I've 100% done the same thing. So good. So you're
tell
two.
Me.
Well, I'm going to get to my. Before we do, we got a couple things to get to. Number one. Thank you to the Alabama Broadcasters Association. This now, we've been doing this. And now, this, let me point out, you and I have been doing this show for 20-something years. You know, different radio stations, but 20-something, because we're coming up on 15 years here, our anniversary, May 1st, 15 years at
so
FM Talk.
Me and you've done this here.
15 years.
15 years. Me and you did this before for probably 5 years.
Yeah, so 20 years at least.
And then I did it before that for probably... 25 years. So I've been 25, 26 years. Me and you've been doing it for 20 years.
20 years.
A long time.
So we finally got an award. Now, fair enough, we've never applied for the award before for this show. So
do you have to apply for
it? Yeah, you have to make it. You have to put an entry in.
Okay.
And it's something that I just, in the early days of the station, I was so busy trying to make radio come out of the speakers that I didn't do all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
And we have one of my coworkers here, Tina, who's great, you know, would remind me every year, you know, you ought to put some of this stuff we're doing down here in, you know, these shows you're doing that you think are normal or better than what's going on in the rest of the state. So we put in stuff for Midday Mobile and the morning show won something last year and all these. But I put in our show right here, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And guess what? We got this is Alabama Broadcasters Association, the Judges Award of Merit for 2024, large market sports show. And so there's not an outdoors category because they're, you know, there's about three
show.
Or four of us that are the rednecks of broadcasting in Alabama. Most people in broadcast are not like me.
Not rednecks. Like
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they're not, they don't.
Yeah.
So there's not a category for outdoors, but we're in the overall sports category. And so, yeah, I got the Judges Award of Merit for 2024, and they gave us a trophy, man.
How about that? Now, is this first place?
This is Judges. So first place went to WJOX in Birmingham, big sports station up there in Birmingham. I've always been jealous of, you know, what they put together up there for a sports station. It's really, really good station, well run.
Is this Bubba Show, the Bubba Show?
No, it's not the Bubba Show. No,
okay.
This is a bunch of different former Alabama athletes and all that. They have a show that they're on there talking sports.
Okay.
So it's Birmingham and sports.
Baseball, football,
yeah,
whatever.
All the things, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a pretty big show. They got number one, but the judges said, these guys doing this outdoor show, even though, because we don't exactly fit in sports talk,
right?
But this show was so good that we got the other award in sports talk.
How about that?
So
that is awesome.
If they ever give
John.
Us if they ever give us a category for outdoors, we'll own that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you to Alabama Broadcasters, and we appreciate the recognition.
And to our listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, we get so much great response here locally. And but it's neat. You judge by your peers or whatever in this.
Yeah.
And that those people could understand. They probably didn't have any idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But they said, hey, they're doing a good job talking about it. So,
well, after 25 years, we get
recognized. You think we're all right. You think we're all right. So it's the first year we ever put in, too. So our first year we put in, and we won the award.
That's
all right.
Awesome. Awesome, Sean.
I got a quick turkey story before we go to break.
Okay.
And this is not my turkey story. But it's a turkey story that was recounted to me. And I asked the guy several times while he's telling me, I said, this is the funniest thing. This is a great joke. He said, it's not a joke. This really happened. So he's hunting not far from where you hunt. And he said he and his dad were on a hunt, and they had two gobblers come out. And he said one gobbler's coming out, and he's got the Tacticam on his – so he's got video of the one because that's where he didn't see the other one with it until he was where he couldn't move his gun.
Right.
This turkey on this place – had been shot, or I think the adjoining landowner had shot it the previous year and didn't shoot it correctly and shot its leg off. Okay.
Yeah.
You would think that's a dead turkey.
A one-legged turkey walking around.
Right. I thought I was set up for a joke. He said, this turkey comes out. I kept having him say, stop. he said, one-legged turkey, and he's hopping his way through the field. I don't know how the bird roosts, but he hopping his way.
That's great. You're walking down the road, and you see this
one track.
He's hopping down the road.
He says, this turkey. So this is, I mean, this is the amazing thing about wild animals. Is their ability, you and I have talked about with deer all the time, their ability, the strength of these animals is just incredible. So he is hopping his way through the field and gobbling. He's on one leg. He's hopping on his and gobbling. I don't think he can strut because he'd probably fall over. Like, but he hops with one leg. And as this guy's recounting the story to me, I said, how does this keep going on? He said, so we're watching the other gobbler. And he said, this one finally gets to a tree. Okay, you're sitting down, Mike. Finally gets to a tree and leans against it.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, maybe he leans against a tree to strut.
What he does. So he leans against a tree to gobble and strut. See, my exact reaction. I said, I think I'm being pulled into a tall tale. He said, man, I am not telling you a tall tale.
And he's got video of this.
Well, he's got video of the other turkey. But I trust this guy. And I asked him, I said, this is a funny story. This is great. He said, no, Sean, it really happened. And he said that bird is on their property still. So if he can get him killed, we'll get picture documentation of the one-legged turkey.
Well, he killed the other one. He didn't kill that one.
Yeah, because his dad didn't see that one. His dad shot the other one that they had the guns trained on. But he said, in the meantime, this turkey leaned up against a tree.
Yeah.
All right. Coming right back for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
That's
how about
good.
That? Yeah, it's good
that's
stuff.
Good.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here on a close to halfway through the turkey season turkey show. And turkey show that involved a one-legged turkey. This is why the Alabama broadcasters awarded us the award here for large market sports show.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we are, big-time award winning, which I like. But so, not to be outdone, I tell the story that was I didn't see it, but I trust the person who told me that it was true about the one-legged gobbler.
Yep.
Okay. And I about had.
And I know who it is now. And I believe it too.
Yeah. And I had.
He's a great guy.
I had a straight. Now you understand how I had a straight come apart as he was telling me the story.
Yeah, it's true.
And then you're saying, "Hey, here's another weird story."
Yeah.
Listen to this.
So I'm talking to a friend of mine. And he says, you won't believe this. And I said, well, man, I've seen it and heard it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably believe it. He says, listen to this. He said, me and my brother's turkey hunting. And, as it works out, two turkeys come in. Okay, so it's the old, here he is, they are.
Here's the old joke.
Yeah.
Are we going to 1, 2, 3, then shoot, or 1, 2, shoot?
Yeah.
How many times do you have this? Hey, when I shoot the one on the left, I'll shoot the one on the right. It's going to be 1, 2, 3, then shoot, or what?
Yeah, that's what you really got to do. You got to say 1, 2, and then shoot, or 1, 2, 3,
and then shoot. Gosh,
yeah,
we've been
that does make a split-second difference.
Yep.
So anyway, whatever happened to him, my one buddy that I talked to, he shoots, and his brother shoots at the same time, basically, and my buddy kills his, and the other one flies off, and flying off, in the opposite direction as fast as he can. And they said, well, there he goes. That's the end of that. And in midair, that turkey turns around in midair and comes back and attacks that other turkey on the ground. And his brother shoots that turkey and kills it.
Now, you just put two things that happen separately that I've seen so many times. But you put them in the same. I have seen so many second gobblers, after you kill one, jump on and beat down.
Absolutely.
And I've seen so many fly away. I have never in my life heard of one that flew away and then did him a
midair.
Does a turn to come back.
And jumps on that turkey and beats him up. Now, the second turkey I had to watch that for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, you said he poked a hole in his head.
I mean, just beat him to death.
Yeah, we see plenty of that. And I see plenty of turkeys flying off. But to have a turkey fly off and then change direction and come back. I have never heard that in my life.
The only thing that could have been better, if it had been a one-legged turkey.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And by the way, too, coming up, if wasn't weird enough, I'm going to give you the story about the bait that got somebody busted in Mississippi that you don't think is a turkey bait. Okay, we'll
get to hear this. I don't know what it
get
is.
To
his,
I'll make my turkey hunts pretty fast here, pretty quick. I've killed two. I'm the same place as you, and I killed them this last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, had a lot of close calls early. You know, I hunt a lot of pasture birds. So, you know, as I always say, I can have hunts on my place that you could put the audio in any mossy oak video you wanted to. You'd have 100 gobble morning.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're going to kill them.
Right.
And I can make them gobble, triple gobble, you know, incoming.
Yeah.
Early in the season. We have different, I mean, I have some that are in pastures, some that are in the woods, but those pasture birds put on a show.
Sure.
But it's, you know, early in the season, pretty tough to get them to break.
And when they fly down those pastures, usually hen with gobblers, you know.
It is it's a rare, once in a while, you kill one the first week or two in the pastures, but it's funny, even the non-dominant bird, right, that in the woods a lot of times you'll have a bird that's strutting and gobbling the dominant gobbler, and the other one will do a little sneak in. Say, get away from him and try to go find this hen. There's a few times that happens in the pastures, but a lot of times they just sat there and strut along with the strutter.
That's
right. You know, or just they don't leave. So had a lot of that. Went on the governor's hunt, which was good to hang out with Chuck Sykes some and get to visit with them. I hunted with a friend of mine in Lowndes County. Great ground. I'll say this about Lowndes County. Area we hunted, and we had between a couple different leases, had about 2,000 acres, and the place I was staying on that everybody's reacting to those crappie pictures, his white perch pictures, is a lake on this guy's place. Just wore that, you know, I could crappie fish all day long, and had really some good fishing. But those birds didn't, first day, heard a couple gobbles distance, couldn't make it. Second day, it was really tough. And he has a lot of turkeys. But the thing I said about Lowndes County is I had this picture of where I drive through on 65 in Lowndes County. It's cattle country, pastures, big open pastures, this and that. I got pictures, maybe I'll put them up on the Facebook page. It looked like I was up in Chocolaco or one of those places up in the mountains of Alabama. Rock out faces with like little caves underneath. I mean, big steep angle hills. It's timber company land, and so it was really neat setup too because it was right next to where pastures were. So there's pastures. I mean, if you can draw a better turkey picture, help me. Pastures with hedgerows meet. It's, I won't say bottomland forest. It's not in the bottomland, but that, you know, wide open kind of
upland bottom.
Upland hardwoods, nice see through it, you know, strip of that going into hills and hollers that have oaks still because the topography is so high they hadn't cut the oaks out. So there's oaks on the hillsides and up top. The lower ones have pines that are probably 30 years old.
Yeah.
And then the SMZs, these draws that run through it, are hundreds of yards wide some places. They're these upland hardwoods with 30-year-old pines on the side. I mean, perfect. Amazing country, though. It just blew my mind being in Lowndes County. Didn't do anything there, but had a good time seeing everybody up there. Came back, same thing, a lot of goblin. Took safety off once. Called in a lot of – got a couple goblin jakes, pretty hard goblin jakes this year. Got them to get in my lap, but and that. So what this last week changed is finally the hens are really reliably going to nest. And that changes, you know, that changes everything.
It does.
And those birds, so I killed a bird on Wednesday and killed a bird on Thursday. Wednesday, and part of it is, I'm knowing your land. I live on the land. So instead of the birds being roosted where they always are, this gobbler gobbled somewhere hundreds of yards away from the normal roost. And when he did that, and that was that day before, that morning of the big rainstorm.
Yes.
So it's not good turkey weather, but he gobbled, and I was like, oh, you really messed up. You lost your hens. You're roosted without them.
So you went hunting that
morning.
That was Wednesday morning.
Yeah, Wednesday morning. Went hunting Wednesday morning.
When it looked so terrible.
Yeah, so I went out there and heard him gobble, and I was like, okay, you messed up. I know what you're doing now, and you don't have any girls there. And it was one of those hunts I tell you about that are good, but they're not great. I've had better hunts where I didn't kill one. Bird gobbled maybe 20 times, probably 10, 15 times on limb, maybe 5 times on the ground. It was funny, as we talk about what makes turkeys gobble, and we've got a bunch of Canada geese around, and they get immune to it.
They don't gobble to them where I'm at.
Except, and most places I'm with, they don't gobble to Canada geese.
That's right.
Unless they're real charged up. And that's what this turkey was gobbling, not to geese before. My turkeys gobble to donkeys more than anything. I mean, I need to have a donkey call versus an owl call. But Canada geese, he pitched down, and I was scared he was going the other way. And I was sitting there, and I was like, well, just wait. Don't, you know, I've already talked to him, called him, put the slate down, put the mouth call in, sitting there. And I was like, well, maybe he's gone down, you know, along the creek down there. And Canada geese honked, and that day he decided to just blow the leaves off the tree when they honked, and he was not far from me at that point. You know, and I use things just like all of us do. How are you going to explain in a weird way to the gobbler that he can't see the hen?
Yeah.
And sometimes you use a thicket. Sometimes I use topography, and this is a place where I use topography, that he would have to be in range coming up this hill.
Come over the hill.
But he would be, by the time he could see where the hen was, he would be in range.
He'd be in trouble.
He got real nervous. I mean, you know, the second they get up there and they go, she should be right there, and she's not. You know, he started to look around. He almost went to move one of the wings to do the old tuck and killed him. He's a really good bird. I killed double, he was double bearded. So was the one on Thursday, double bearded, both
man
of them. But the first bird was 10 and a half, 11 inch beard, and I didn't measure the second one. Here's what gets me excited. I'm in Mobile County, 21.9 pounds.
That's a big chunk. That is. That's a big turkey from Mobile County.
That is a chunk it is. There. I remember.
Most time it was 16, 18 pounds.
Right. Well, that's why I went and got the digital fish scale out of the boat, because I picked him up to haul him back, and I said, what the? Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
And so, and then on Thursday's hunt, and that bird, by the way, if you're tracking, was 18.5 pounds. So he was more the normal. I said, I'm going to hunt, but I got to get to work. In deference to everybody I work with, hi, how are y'all? I got to get to work, but I'm going to go hunt real fast. If there's a hard charging bird, I'm going to go to it. If they're playing coy, I'm just going to go get my shower and go to work.
Yeah.
And so I went and ended up brand new burn. We burned some more stuff last weekend, and I went into the area where I thought it was safe parking my vehicle, the buggy, and I was going to walk in from there. Pulled up right under the gobbler. And he looked at me. I looked at him. And he sailed off. And then I said, "Okay, well, let me keep pushing here. Go further. That one's messed up, but I went further." And I pulled out on a power line. And then you had to pull out on power line and back off to hide the vehicle. I did. Now, I've just driven down this power line. It's probably 5-6 minutes after light now at this point. And I just owled, thinking, well, the bird might gobble somewhere else. Well, just right across the power line from me where I just drove through. Bow! And he just lights it up. And I said, oh, gosh. But I think he's probably down that bottom. I can slip. I try to get across power line. The only way you could set up on him, bird flies off. Okay.
So he sees you.
Sees me, he flies off.
Yeah.
I go up further, walking probably another quarter mile, half mile, trying to get bird to gobble, nothing, come back down. At the point I passed that place, another six turkeys were in those same trees that he came out. They come out. And at this point, and early in the morning before I left the house, I thought I heard a gobble back to a northeast. And I said, well, let me go check that before I go hit the shower and say, what a dumb, dumb move. I made two of them today. And I went in and I was just about to grab a crow call out. I was digging in my vest, grabbed the crow call out, and crows did it for me.
Yeah.
Ba-tow, tow. Two birds. And I said, And this is the flip side of those long hunts.
How far away?
At that point, I heard them there, probably 150. No, 100, maybe 125.
Yeah.
I closed about 60 of those yards, sat down, and, well, we'll tell you when we come back. Within minutes, they came on in. But it's interesting what you said, because when I got set down, I didn't think they could see me, but they started putting. And what I did, I rolled the dice on it, and it worked. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
All right.
And then, but they both had two legs, as best I could tell. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here. So the quick hunt, which it was on Thursday, so I heard those two birds gobble. But what I think is worth talking about is you talking about having that bird on your first hunt that was putting and you thought maybe it'd seen you.
Right.
So I closed the distance, got pretty close. I got a little too close, I think, and I'm looking at some thicker woods that right along the edge, they're thick, but they open up in the back, and those birds are back there gobbling. And I go to sit down, no tree, but I got, that vest I'm wearing this year has got the fold-out seat. And you can, I have another one that has straps, but this one has a real kind of seat that gives you backrest. So I was like, heck, plop your butt down here, get set. One of those where you just get set real fast. And they're, but I'm like, dang it. I said, well, I got to go to work. Either I'm, going to do this or not do this. So I just cut hard on a mouth call. On top of that putting.
Yeah.
Because they're getting nervous. But I said, heck with it. Let's, you know, let's do this.
Either happen or not happen.
That's right. One of those, you know, swing for the fences.
Yeah.
And they, pow! So all of a sudden it was okay.
Yeah.
And they stayed back there a second, putting some more, and then I think maybe one more gobble. And then they closed the distance and didn't come through right where I was looking. You're talking about Pretzel. But I couldn't move. I knew what they were doing to me. They came out into a green field behind me, and I did the old shooting off the bicep of the right arm.
Yeah.
Laid across the left shoulder.
Yeah.
But it killed that bird, too. Yeah, second bird last week that both had double beards. So, I mean, I've gone years and not killed a double beard bird, and I killed two in a row. So
yeah. That's not, that's unusual. I mean, you don't kill many.
And one was a mature
double,
bird.
Double beard
yeah.
turkeys.
No, you don't. And one first bird, like I said, he was a chunk. You know, it was 21.9 pounds. He was a over two-year-old bird. The one I killed Thursday was two-year-old bird, but they both had, you know, a little bit of that genetics is good.
Yeah, right.
Now
absolutely.
We get quadruple beards or something, we'll be doing something. So good hunt and had a good week. And finally, I mean, the key to me is a little bit of, as I tell you, I mean, you burn, you get turkeys in, new turkeys in, you got your turkeys in, you get other turkeys in. But number two is just this time of year. Then people complaining about having to hunt later in the year. To me, on our place, every place is different, but my place hunts better in April and on in mid-April when hens start going to nest and get scarce.
You're starting to hear more turkeys gobble that you didn't know was on your property because they didn't have to gobble because they was looking at the hens. Now they're not looking at the hens.
And they're moving around more.
They're looking more. That's right.
So hunting's gotten a lot better. All right, before we run out of time, too, I want to...
I got to hear this story.
Okay, so it popped up last week. I saw it, and we didn't do the show last week, so I didn't get this. So it's a little bit old. It's from April 2nd.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of – I think I first saw it in the Clarion Ledger out of Jackson. This is from Outdoor Life, and I'll post this up on the Facebook page as well. Headline here, Mike. Wildlife commissioner cited for hunting turkeys over bait says he didn't know crickets were there. So here you go. A Mississippi Wildlife Commissioner, so one of their commissions, not the head of it, but they get a commission, has been cited by the same agency he was appointed to oversee for illegally hunting wild turkeys over bait. The Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks confirmed with SuperTalk Mississippi News on Monday it was investigating the allegations against Leonard Bentz Jr. Today, the agency confirmed with the same source that Bentz was cited as a result of their investigation. Bentz acknowledged the citation on Tuesday, but said he was unaware that the field he was hunting had been baited with crickets by the landowner.
Baited by crickets.
Okay.
Never heard of such.
So Bentz wrote in a statement, said, under the law, even though I was told by officers that they knew I was not aware the crickets were on the property, I'm in violation because I hunted property where crickets were placed. End quote. I mean, it's something I've never heard
of. Yeah.
It says MDWFP, so that's their wildlife in Mississippi, investigation into the commissioner revolved around the allegations that Bentz and his two sons were in a group that was hunting wild turkeys over bait on private land in Holmes County, responding to anonymous tip about the allegations. I wonder who ratted them out on this. Conservation officers with MDWFP went to the hunting property on Friday, spoke with Bentz along with the landowner. Wildlife commissioner and former member of the Mississippi House of Representatives, big time, told reporters that his group was approached by conservation officers about 7 a.m. Friday. He said the officers told them that the landowner and caretaker of the land had bought and released crickets into the 500-acre plot they were hunting before their arrival. Bentz, and he goes, okay, his history here. Let's get back to the turkey crickets. All right, so they said Bentz, who was first appointed Wildlife Commission by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, 2021, denied having any knowledge that crickets were there. He said the tip that I or any of the guests were caught hunting by baiting turkeys is untrue. The truth is my guest and I were hunting a piece of property owned by a friend of mine who assured me there was not bait on the property. Bentz added, he did the right thing here, that he had inspected the roads and feeders on the property before their hunt, which is a good thing to do. Ensure there was no bait in the area. He said the officers then spoke with the landowner who claimed that he, the landowner, had no prior knowledge of the crickets being released onto the property, said he didn't realize it was illegal to place insects on his land in the first place. So this guy both said, I didn't do it, but I didn't know it was illegal.
Yeah.
Well, that changes. Officer responded saying that they were going to gather all the evidence and take the landowner's information, and citations for the landowner and caretaker would more than likely be forthcoming once they decided the appropriate statute for the violation. So it goes in, I guess, later story, and this story doesn't have it, but it that they ended up, the landowner fessed up to it, that they had been putting in this patch, I guess, in this field, they had been turning out crickets. Okay. They turned out crickets, and I guess, I mean, you know, turkey's like a cricket.
Yeah.
Which, of course, a smart buddy of mine who was working the burn with me the other day said, listen, let's come up with our own feeders that just have crickets, like single-serve crickets. So it won't even be like a corn feeder. It would be like a gravity feeder for crickets.
Never heard of such.
Yeah, so this guy, it says, yeah, that they had been baiting this area. I guess going down to the crickets, going down a live bait place and buying crickets and turning them loose in the field. And how the turkeys ever found that that field had more crickets than another field,
you know,
I have no idea.
All the chirping. You know, I mean, the crickets are chirping. You know, they hear 1,000 chirps out there or whatever.
You wonder their brains work. Yeah, I mean, I guess they would think like that.
Yeah, I would think.
So it's, there it is. So if you were planning on, they're on to you. I don't know. And Chuck Sykes and I texted back and forth a little bit. He didn't give me the, you know, interpretation of what the law was. I didn't ask him, but we're laughing about it. I don't know what the law is in Alabama, but in Mississippi, you can't be hunting over
crickets.
Crickets. A field baited with crickets. Now, out of the things that I would say would be the hardest for a game warden to catch you doing would be hunting over crickets.
I would think so.
Game wardens, I know some listen to the show. Y'all let me know. Do you think that this is, you know, would you be looking for crickets? Would you, if you're out there looking on a piece of land, would you be looking for crickets? I just ask him for a friend, as they say. Not me, personally. I'm not interested. But, yeah, so there you go. This guy busted for hunting over bait. That bait happened to be crickets. So what are you going to do? That's
well, we had some good stories today, Sean. That's all I can tell you. We've had some really good stories. One-legged turkey, crickets.
Yes.
Turkey's flying back to you in midair.
So this is how we do it here. When we play the front nine on turkey season, we'll have more stories at the end of season.
Probably hope they're better.
And we'll talk about some fishing as well coming up. All right, we'll do it again next week. See y'all.